everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Right under the wire. Hey, listen, the most interesting thing is happening. I got a call from an old friend of mine who tells me that another old friend of mine, Candido, is going to be appearing at Purchase College. 88 years old, this famous drummer. Fantastic drummer. 88 years old. He's going to be appearing, but they're doing something at the Institute for Music and Neurological Function in collaboration with the Conservatory of Music at Purchase College, SUNY. What's that all about? Let me tell you two stories. I had a friend, Richard Post. He was dying. I went to visit him in the hospital, and Richard loved to play Gershwin on the piano. And when I'm talking to him, he could no longer talk. Something had happened to his brain. But I noticed the way he moved his fingers, and I said to his son, get him a keyboard. Get him just a toy keyboard with batteries so that he could hear it. And he did. And Richard was able to play music where he could do very little else. He didn't go very far because by the time it happened to him, his brain was already gone. I had a neighbor, next-door neighbor, who I've known for many years. He has dementia. I went to visit him, and I noticed he was tapping his head. He's hitting himself in the head over and over again, and he just keeps hitting himself in the head. And I said to him, I said, well, what if I give him one of my drums, having been a drummer myself? And I took a drum over, and he started hitting the drums. And I said, I wonder what this connection is. Well, lo and behold, when I hear about this conference, I learned that there is a whole group of people who have been studying the effect of music and rhythm on people with dementia and on the brain as the brain gets challenged. In the studio with me, I have two fabulous people. Marlon Sobel, who has done a wonderful job at helping teach people how to find their rhythmic self and their musical self. And his work is just a gift. And also with me is Conchato Tamiano, who is, Connie's kind of been made famous by a recent book by the world's most famous neurologist, where he talks about the work that she's done in musical therapy and how it relates to brain imaging and mapping. And so let me introduce you to these two people. First, Connie, welcome to WBAI.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, Connie, so music therapy, what a funny world that is. It died?
Well, music therapy has been around for 50 years. I think it's becoming more in the public's eye because of recent books like Oliver Sacks' Music Ophelia and books like Dan Levitin's This Is Your Brain on Music. So people and the public are becoming more aware of the potential of music therapy, and it's getting, for that reason, it's back in the public's eye and attention.
Well, what is it that Oliver Sacks found?
Well, he was able to explain and does explain how people with challenged neurologic function responds so positively to music, specifically people with Parkinson's disease who can't initiate movement on their own can actually move very well when music is present. People with Alzheimer's disease who don't recognize a loved one can recognize words to songs that they heard 50, 60 years ago. So we know from our clinical work that music can reach people in very profound ways and that we can use that phenomena therapeutically to really help people.
Well, everybody would have thought the same thing. You know, Connie, everybody would have said, oh, yeah, music. You know, grandma likes to hear music. Everybody likes to hear music. Everybody likes to hear music. So isn't it no matter what you put on, you're going to get some kind of a response from somebody? People like music, so what?
Well,
what does that have to do with brain disorder? What does that have to do with brain development?
Well, let me talk about people who've lost function because of a brain disorder. Many times the things that we could do every day, like remember a name, remember a phone number, even buttoning the shirt, may be a skill that is lost to Alzheimer's disease, dementia, or traumatic brain injury. And yet the actions of some of those activities can still be present to that individual, but stimulated from the outside through rhythm or through something that cues a response, like moving a hand in a certain way.
You know, I saw this incredible, just to let you all know, by the way, I'm going to certainly try to be there at Purchase College next Wednesday night, December 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. What's going on there? I know you put this together, Connie.
Sure. Well,
it's a party, right?
Right. Well, it's a wonderful concert to pay tribute to our music therapy program at the Schnurrmacher Home for Rehabilitation in White Plains, bringing together great artists, Candido being one of them, and Bobby Sanabria, along with Marlon's phenomenal band, Shem's Disciples. But also during the day at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a symposium that really explores music and the brain and how music and emotions affect us. And we'll have Joseph Ledoux from NYU as a keynote to really speak about that. That particular topic.
Let me ask Stephanie. Stephanie, you knew Joseph Ledoux yourself, right? This is Stephanie Dombra, who's been following.
I don't know him personally, but I study his work. It's all on the amygdala, fear, emotion, and he's written the book The Emotional Brain. And my sister even actually got acquainted with him in a music anxiety performance class. And so they use his work around anxiety and music, and it makes total sense. And he has a band.
He has a band called the Amygdaloids.
The Amygdaloids.
Yeah.
The Amygdaloids. Okay, so let's look at some of this work up close. Marlon, you're here, and thank you for being here. I saw a video, and in this incredible video, you are sitting with a group of people who are just remarkable. You know, these are people who look like they were barely functioning with some of their aids. Can you tell me about the setting of that?
Well, thank you for having me today. And the setting of that video took place in 2006 at the Schnurrmacher Center for Rehabilitation and Nursing in White Plains. And we brought about 10 residents with a diagnosis of dementia. And the DVD is actually 22 minutes, but the actual session was a full hour. It was a 60-minute session. And one incredible point is that on most doctors' reports with these people, to keep a 60-minute attention span with this clientele of the diagnosis of dementia, and some have Alzheimer's type, is unheard of. I mean, it clearly states that they are not able to do this, and they were certainly able to do it that day and on the days that we do rhythmic
activities. So what did you do?
So what we did was...
So you walk in a room, and you've got an idea. Now, there you are with your assistant. Who is the other person on the videotape?
The other person's another fabulous music therapist. Her name's Lucy Butler.
So you and Lucy Butler say, okay, we're going to do this now with people.
Right? Well, not exactly. It wasn't our first initial session. I have been leading drum circles since 2002, but this we wanted to document how it actually worked. So you get in the room. One of the techniques I like to do is you start out with some music already playing as you pass out the instruments, tambourines, maracas, hand drums, things that people are capable of playing depending on their condition. As one person gets the instrument, so they don't lose their attention, the music is playing in the background, something with an inviting rhythm, and they begin to play. As soon as everybody gets their instruments passed out to them and they're playing along to this music, then I turn the music off and I have the djembe in my hand and I start off taking the rhythmic cue off of the resonance, which they've gotten from the music, and we begin our rhythm together. And that leads to a greeting, a hello, a reality orientation. And from that point, that's basically the starter of the circle.
When I was a kid, we used to go to Central Park, and we'd sit around the lake. And right at the bottom of the lake, there would be, maybe 20 conga drummers would show up with all different sized drums. And we would play together. And I don't know why we played together, because there was a hollow sound there, you know. But I realized none of us were playing anything very special, but there was something about belonging to a drumming circle that made you feel something special. Now, I don't know what it is, but I am sure the reaction was chemical. I am sure it's dopamine or some of the good stuff that you feel that makes it really wonderful to be part of something. The sense of it. A person who has got some, you know, some disorder of the brain, who's got something going wrong with them, they get so isolated. They get so alone. They actually pull off into a world that's very private. Nothing touches them. What you've been able to do is through music, you've been able to find a touch. Let's do an experiment. Let's imagine we have Stephanie Domry here in the studio, right? And let's say Stephanie were a person who has dementia, right? And Stephanie, hi there. You mind playing with this?
No, not at all.
Okay, great. So Stephanie has dementia, right? Here you are with your drum, and you're trying to encourage Stephanie to join you in this drumming experience. What would you do?
Good afternoon, Stephanie. How are you today?
Okay.
Good afternoon, Stephanie. Thank you for telling me you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. Smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a
song.
Nothing but blue birds all day long. I never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. I'm noticing the days hurrying. I'm noticing that you're shaking your head. I'm noticing the days hurrying by. I'm noticing the days hurrying. When you're in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now
on.
From now on. Let me hear you. From now
on.
Oh, from now
on.
Oh, she's turned on. Stephanie's okay, she's turned on. It's nice to be here with you in the afternoon. Yeah, 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 Stephanie, Stephanie. She's okay, welcome to music. Nice to be here with you.
Nice work. So to see it, you know, Stephanie played the recalcitrant, the reluctant, the not knowing where she is, not knowing the part of life that she's in, and she suddenly gets invited by this beautiful man to say, come and join me in a rhythm. Come and join me in a rhythm. You know what I mean? Well, most of you know me, and you've heard my music over the years, and if I decide to play you something during my programs, I'll put something on for you, and I'll say, join me if you want. Now, with noise like this, we have a few people in the studio here. Connie, pick up let's hear a cowbell. Oh, there's one. Now, how about we add a Stephanie on a woodblock? M Marlon, let's give it another shot. You throw in there, too. How about anybody at home or at your desk? Pick up a pen and hit something. Join us in a rhythm of some sort. Become a part of the family of rhythm. Here we go. Beautiful. Now, what does that do? What does that do for us? What did it do? You notice nobody tried to stand out. Nobody was saying, I'm going to play the best cowbell you ever heard in your life. And nobody said, I'm going to play the best woodblock, although that woodblock, I must admit, Stephanie, was born in 1952. Has been with me ever since, the very one that you're hitting on.
How old is the cowbell?
The cowbell's the same age.
It looks it.
Right? They're good instruments. But the idea of it is the feeling you get. You know, it's hard for me to tell you people now. The feeling. The feeling you get when you allow yourself join a rhythm of something. This is what music therapy, I think, is partially. It's partially refinding your family. So I'm going to invite you all again. I'm going to invite you on this next journey. Do it however you do it. You may do it with your voice. You know, there's a very famous piece. I wonder if I could find this with Dizzy Gillespie. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Dizzy did a thing with his voice. See if it's right here. So we could all do that. But you'd be amazed how difficult scatting even gets to be when you're self-conscious. So I'm going to ask you all once again to try to get the feeling of it, because here's what I'm going to encourage. You know, the holidays are coming up. Holidays are tough times with the family. Tough times with the family, because the family tries to get connected to each other, but they're missing. Now, I know some families that have musical families, and oh my God, is it envious to hear that there are seven teenagers who all play major instruments, and parents who play instruments, and that it's like a beautiful thing. Your family is like that, isn't it? Marlon, are they musical people?
Yeah, my father's a classical clarinetist, my mother's a classical pianist, my brother's a rapper, and he plays a clarinet, and I am that I am.
And you are that you are. Connie, you got that experience in your family?
Well, my husband's a professional trombonist. He plays freelances, jazz. I play trumpet as well, so we've played together for 35 years. I have two teenage daughters. Both of them sing in musical theater and very talented. So we basically, when the lights go out and we have no electricity, we just play music. It's pretty amazing.
What about on your side, Stephanie? What happens in your family?
It really doesn't stop, as you know. There's constant playing. Drums, trumpets, pianos, flutes, banjos, everything, you know.
And what are they doing? Why are they doing this? Why don't they want to talk to each other?
Well, it's a form of talking. Honestly, we talk as well, but it's a form of talking. It's just great joy to be playing wonderful duets with my daughter on the flute, and so it's a beautiful form of communication.
I think sometimes the words get in the way, and that there's a much better communication. So if you're considering your own Thanksgiving and a way of maybe doing it differently, you might consider bringing in some rhythmic instrumental kind of stuff, because even dance works beautifully. I mean, even if people are just doing old dancing. But, you know, I would wonder if if anybody ever hired a musician to say, and we do, of course, we hire musicians at parties, to say, bring us together through this mutual thing. But let's try it one more time, my friends, all of us. Imagine yourself trying, just seeing what it's like to follow a basic rhythm, pick up an instrument. Don't just sit there and listen. Come on now, I know some of you, and Ricky, I know you're listening. Don't just listen at your desk. Pick up your pen and bang on something. And to all of the other ones out there who I know who are listening, let this be something and let's just move. And even Michael in your studio, right, just bring it along and let's see what we can do. Let's try to bring a little rhythm into this world. Some oomph sounds, use vocal sounds too, and they could be anything at all. Come on, let's hear some voices. Actually took place during the lesson while they were doing it in the when they were getting this organized with this group of people. Now, is it possible, by the way, that this can happen? This happens up in the Bronx, right? These. Well, let me just go back a second here. Hold on. Here's an actual sound from the recording itself.
Because we do it in rhythm and we do it in song, it makes it much more exciting to engage in a conversation and to interact with one another. That second, they're very much not demented, you know? They're answering their name. sometimes a certain resident have a preconceived notion of drumming that it's maybe a little barbaric or not so civilized, and it takes them a while to see the value of it, that it is therapeutic.
This beautiful video, by the way, which I would strongly recommend. How do people get a copy of this, by the way? Is there a way?
It's actually available on our website, which is imnf.org. And the video was made through a grant from the New York State Department of Health Dementia Care grant program. And so they paid us to do this instructional video, and they're allowing us to sell it at our cost, which is only $10.
So, and it's a beautiful thing. I'm looking to get a couple of copies of it and pass it around. The idea here is that by getting people involved in musical endeavors, you're going to be able to tap into things. Well, what about all these medications for Alzheimer's and stuff like that? I mean, how are the drugs working?
Well, I'm not a pharmacist, so I don't want to go into how they work. We know that drugs like Aricept, though, are very useful for people with Alzheimer's disease in cutting down some of the behaviors and things that happen and slowing down some of the memory loss problems. However, what the drugs don't do is stimulate function that's still available to the individuals. And I think in music therapy, I know in music therapy, one of the things that we do is tap into those residual abilities that are somehow locked inside people with Alzheimer's disease and dementia and traumatic brain injuries, because ability is still there. It's just that the person, because of their head injury, is unable to gain access to that ability. And so we see people who can't talk, who can sing. We see people who can't move on their own, who can move to music and to rhythm, who follow the beat as a way of organizing their movements. So we know clinically that this happens very dramatically, and neuroscientists and people that we work with are able to study this and explain to us how it works.
We're speaking with two wonderful people, three actually, four actually, if you think about it. We got Stephanie Dumbra, we even have me, I think I'm wonderful too. And we have Concetta Tamayano, who is an executive director and co-founder of the Institute for Music and Neurological Functioning, and Marlon Solbol, who is doing some really marvelous work with people at helping people rediscover the parts of themselves that might have been forgotten as retrievable. But music does do it, and we know the beauty of music. We know the beauty of how it works for so many people. So I want to take your calls related to this today. I want to hear from you as well. Let's keep in mind that when they do their work, one of the things that you see is they encourage people to eventually take a solo. One of the things that touched me the most was when you got that man to do his solo, or the woman to do her solo rhythm. And it was like a whole world. I am here, and I am in a crowd, and I stand out. It was so beautiful. What did you feel, Marlon, when you saw that?
Well, that's one of the techniques that I'm conscious of. And when you're within a community all drumming together, you really are a community. And the technique of soloing and giving a chance for the rest of the group and the person singled out to solo and just hear the sound that they're making on their instrument and have the whole group become aware of this person making the sound and eventually recognizing either consciously or subconsciously that if it wasn't for this, our group would not be as whole as it is if it wasn't for this contribution. So to actually get a chance to hear it really just brings down the point that I am special, I am needed in this group, and people care that I'm here.
We're seeing more and more people nowadays who are living longer and showing up with, you know, with diseases that are there as part of the consequence of being around so long, and we have the beauty of you two people and the work that you're doing both with Purchase and the Institute of getting people to kind of wake up a little bit. It's kind of really beautiful. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'll play you a little music, and we'll take your phone calls at 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. And if you wanted to get the Purchase tickets for Wednesday night, where would they go? Purchasecollege.com or something?
They would.
Oh, no, here's the number, actually. 718-519-5840.
That's correct.
Okay, we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes, my friends.
W-B-A-I, 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 New York, New York, New York, New York, W-B-A-I, 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 New York, New York, New York, New York.
We're the New Orleans Jazz Vipers at W-B-A-I, New York City.
That sound means it's time for an Arts Alert, opportunities for those in the arts to strive and thrive. These opportunities do not require entry fees. The Jamaica Center for Arts and Learning invites video artists to submit their work for a video slam. This event is a component of Jamaica Flux 2010 and will coincide with the exhibition's opening on April 10th. They will select 25 videos related to the theme of Art as Action. Accepted work will address various interpretations of this concept. For more information, visit their website, www.jcal.org, and click on Visual Arts, scroll down to Jamaica Flux, or send an email to info@jcal.org. This and more arts alerts are yours when you visit WBAI.org. And while you're there, make a pledge to keep your community radio on the air. I'm Mark Leosa. Thank you.
Is our number here. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're listening to Afro Blue by Mongo Santamaria from way back. We're speaking with people who are students of music, who are music teachers and music therapists, Conchetta Tamiano and Martin Sobel as well. And what they're talking about is how they are using this work with people with dementia and of other places as well. And I find what's really fascinating with this is that you don't know it, but in the world of psychotherapy, in the world of psychology, there have been many deaths. Deaths, D-E-A-T-H-S. And each thing, there used to be touch therapy, you know, and there was massage therapy and a lot of different kinds of therapy that were called therapy and actually fit under the word therapy. But the trouble with them was there were too much lawsuits going back and forth between people touching each other. And so they did a certain licensure that you couldn't get if you were doing psychotherapy and touching people. So certain therapies that were based on touch, which were bioenergetics and a few others, they kind of survived it, but people had to pull in their horns and the therapy had to go away. Well, believe it or not, music therapy was another one. Music therapy almost died. Art therapy is another that's yet to be discovered. Music therapy is this, it makes so much sense. Are you kidding? Music therapy, you mean sit in a room and make music with people and listen to music and relate to music and tell your story about music? And do you think that that would be helpful to you? You can tell your entire life history by doing your relationship to music. Pick me a song. The other day I mentioned to a friend of mine, Xavier Cugat, she said, I never heard of him. I said, Sharo, and she said, oh, but I heard of Sharo because I used to see that on Saturday Night Live or what was it, or one of those programs. So, but Sharo was, you know, with Xavier Cugat as well. The idea is that we all have history with music. I could think of lyrics. I could hear Frank Sinatra lyrics and Peggy Lee lyrics spinning through my brain because I have history with it. If you have memory with it, if it's positive or negative memory, it's going to make a difference. Some of the best days in my life have been around music. My life, I would say, is saved by its very existence. Music is like the essence of the spheres in so many ways. And yet when the insurance companies came along and they said, ah, music, we can't give you insurance for music. We can't let you do music treatment on people. We need you to give them drugs. We need you to give them chemicals. That's what's going to help them. Well, I think the music therapists are real heroes, and I think, luckily, well, how did this all happen? One Wall Street Journal article? What was it that brought it all about? What suddenly made music therapy come back? Was it awakenings? What was it?
There's several things that brought music therapy into the public's attention. I think awakenings was one of them, because you saw so dramatically people who were immobile literally come to life when the right music was played. I think that the Music Therapy Association, the American Music Therapy Association, has tried over the years to really inform the public about what music therapy is and can do. We at the Institute have been looking specifically at how music affects neurologic function, because the essence of what makes us a musical species and makes music a therapeutic tool lies in the fact that we respond to music in very dramatic ways. And I think that awareness that's been published in books like Musicophilia and things that are getting into public eye, also the Music Instinct and other PBS specials that have been on recently that we were part of and actually advised on, are bringing to the public a real understanding of how powerful music is. It's not just an entertainment tool. If you think historically, that music was originally part of medicine. When Socrates and Plato talked about music, they talked about it as a healing art. They didn't separate it as an entertainment phenomena.
And certainly if we throw dance in there as part of music,
oh, absolutely,
it becomes a double thing, because you can get not only the movement of the dance, you know, the mobility of the dance, as well as the joining of the music.
Sure. And what happens is when people can't do these actions anymore independently because of a traumatic brain injury, or you think of a child who has a developmental delay, who can't balance themselves when they try to walk, or can't put one foot in front of the other, they can do that if the rhythm is present that provides a framework in which to move. And so, and we know that we pick up information from our environment on how to relate to the environment. Some people can't do that in and of themselves, but music provides the right structure of timing, of orderedness, that allows for these functions to really take place. And people who lose that either because of a developmental delay or brain injury.
Do you, Marlon, I remember when you were teaching, part of what you were teaching is we were showing foot stomps and hand claps. How did that work? Can you describe it?
Well, part of the method that I developed was to introduce the drum is basically introducing different sounds on how to play the drum. You have a low tone, you have a high tone, you have a short tone. And so I correlated the body parts. So a foot stomp would be a correlation to the bass tone of a drum, where you put your hand in the middle of a drum. And the striking of the thigh would be a high tone, and which would be played on the side of the drum. And the slap of the drum, short staccato sound of the drum, would be a clap. And when I do in-services and trainings for people that have very low budgets, healthcare facilities and schools, and they say, we can't afford to buy all these drums, you know, and the essence of the activity could be accomplished with the body itself through stomping exercises and clapping, and all those sounds are accomplished with the body that we were given.
212-209-2900. Let's hear about your experience with this. Let's hear from a couple of folks. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. 212-209-2900. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. I just wanted to say that drumming, timing is everything. Timing is the means by which we define ourselves. The way we speak, when we call a cab, when we order a drink, timing. The bartender will walk right by you if your voice is not expressing that internal timing. And drumming with four people, it's not a random situation with no order. There's a definite, specific structure when the body hears it right.
Well,
and
let me, are you
see that exchange with the other drummers when it's taking place on clave, on timing, whatever that timing might be, Brazilian timing, you know, they got that funny clave, Cuban timing is cut, 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 and so on. And every part, the improvisation falls on one part of that structure, the tres golpe, the tumba, and when you see yourself doing it, it ignites you. I just wanted to say that.
Well, you know, you say that, I'm going to ask you one more question. You think timing has anything to do with love itself?
With love itself? Did you say love itself?
I said love itself. When you love somebody, how important is timing?
I would say that timing is everything.
Timing
the manner
is
in
everything.
Which you stroke that, did you say rub?
Love is what I said.
Oh,
rub
love,
is also
love.
Yeah, love. When you love somebody, it's all about timing. Sure, you could love somebody when they're not ready to be loved, and that's missing the timing, you know? And that's
well,
what I think.
Well, it could very well be that your timing is off, and this is why it's ill-received. So it's like half a dozen, how you call it, 6-1 of another. It's a complex thing, but it's never a random, you know, it's hard to define. In other words, when are you good with the powers that be? Is it, you know, did you overstep the line when you went to do this with this person that it didn't come off right? It's almost impossible to know, but there's a certain area that you can feel that is correct.
Well,
know?
Well, bringing it to is a great point. Bringing it to a healthcare environment of where we do most of our work, and it's very important to that the nurse and the CNA and the doctor, when the nurse is responding to call bells, and the CNA has got to get this person out of the bathroom, and this patient is taking, you know, takes X amount of time to put their pants up, and everybody's on a different time. So that's why it's so important in a healthcare environment, because we're all trying to serve the patient for the best outcome for the patient, that we all get on a similar page. And through interdisciplinary drumming, we unite the team, and that's when we get the best care for the patient.
Sometimes, you know, I walk down the street, and I'll be with a friend who'll be complaining about how noisy it is out there, and I'll say, wait, listen to it. You know, and if you listen to it, you could actually hear the symphony that's being played out there, you know, and it's just a matter of you. If you're not in time with the rhythm you're hearing, you could adjust your time. Don't try to change the timing, their timing. You could kind of move into it. You could find the spaces in between that you're listening to. You know,
well,
so
it's not necessarily their timing. It is the timing called for.
Good
and
going.
The beauty comes in when your life realizes that you are actualizing it.
Thank you very much.
Even if only for a moment, because I'm a stumble bum. But for once in a while when I hit it, even a note, it's immense.
Oh, you're beautiful.
I can kind of understand what you're talking about when it comes to the therapy, because that's what life is, an interaction of all people aimed at the same target.
How do you like the idea? Obviously, you know who Candido is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Right? Imagine Candido, 88 years old, is going to be at Purchase College next Wednesday.
I understand that. I remember Candido from Kenya, the album Kenya,
right.
Machito's Kenya.
Sure, the original.
You know, the original one?
You know, they just did, Bobby Sanabria did the Manhattan School of Music.
Right. They did it good.
Revisit, Grammy-nominated album.
But I love the original for the simple reason that that's when I fell in love with time, with the whole, you know, well, not then, before that, but timing drives every part of my person. In other words, every aspect of my life is usually attributable to something off on my timing. My heartbeat, my breathing is you know, when you actually capture oxygen and it flows good. I can't even, because it's everything.
You know, listening
when you speak
to you.
To a person, you know.
Listening to you, you can hear it.
Well, I'm a little bit pumped up right now. Yeah. I just had coffee and oatmeal and all that stuff.
That's a little additional timing. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks a lot for hearing me out. Okay.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, my name is Brenda Torres, and I want to just say hi to Marlon and Connie.
Hey.
Oh. Hi. Hey, Brenda.
How you doing?
I'm okay, actually. I'm surprised. I just passed by the station and I heard the both of you, and I'm so happy and thrilled that you're providing wonderful information. We are so happy to have the both of you contribute to our facility. I'm calling from CNR. I represent Center for Nursing, which is our sister chain, Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation. And I have to say that the drum circle that has been implemented and in service to our facility has been a wonderful success, and our residents, we just see the empowerment in their eyes and their lives, even at that moment. It's about healing and capturing that moment. It's incredible. I'm privileged to have had that opportunity to see it, witness it, and live it. And right now, I have a fractured foot myself, and I'm creating beats. And imagine, I'm using it for myself right
<That's>
now.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thank you.
You know, a very good idea. We have a fund drive coming up at WBAI. We have to raise money, which we do every now and then. And what I intend to do is form a drumming circle and invite people to this drumming circle if they donate money to WBAI, and then I am going to beg Marlon to come by and guide the group through this, and then we're going to record it and play it. I think it's a fabulous idea. Do you mind raising some money for the station? We'll raise money for your cause. Please raise money for ours.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay, you're in too, Connie. Okay. We've got this. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's afternoon, heavenly days, but giving all praise to the Most High. What I want to bring in is that, of course, the drum is an African instrument and incorporated in spiritual worship. And give credit to Chief Priest Baba Ogunde, who brought the drum concept to the Organization of Black Unity in San Antonio. They have incorporated it in their curriculum. And also Shape Center now has a band of steel drum. And the National African Religion Congress in Philadelphia always incorporates the drum in their worship and healing as they practice the spirituality of voodoo, which helped so much when Africans were enslaved, brought to this country. You realize that the drum is an African instrument outlawed for enslaved Africans. I think that's a critical piece to put into the discussion and lift that up. And thank you.
Hey, you're wonderful. Thank you for calling in. And I think that is a very important bit of information because for a good while, that's what you were saying, Marlon, about how some people perceived the drum itself as a primitive instrument.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, when I work with Caribbean people and West African people, this is second nature, like the caller just said. It's integrated in their life already. But for people from Europe and other parts of the world where the movement of the lower body was a little bit taboo, therefore some of the rhythms of the drum were not as accepted.
Concetta Tamayano, Marlon Sobel. You know, Concetta, it's kind of an amazing thing to see around you, isn't it? You're always alive with music.
Oh, absolutely. It's hard to imagine the world without music. And even, you know, I know people who are that have hearing loss who even respond to music. The vibration and the rhythm that they can feel in their body.
The other day I said a strange thing on the air. You know, Connie, I said, imagine a world without love. Imagine a world without the feeling of love, that everything else is logical, everything else makes sense. You have chemistry and chemistry, and you have passion, and you have sex, and you have caretaking, but imagine a world without love. It's strangely enough, it's the same world I imagine without music. Somehow, they seem to ride in the same wavelength. 212-209-2900, let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. By the way, I just want to also mention that there's a whole conference going on there that people might want to attend.
Absolutely.
You know, this is just, we're talking about the evening from 7 to 9 o'clock, but during the day, they're talking about the emotional brain, music, the brain and therapy, emotion, music, and neurology. It's just been fascinating. We're trying to find as much as we can to learn about neuroscience and music therapies, and it's all going to be there on that day on Wednesday, December 2nd. 212-209-2900, time for one more call. Let's take it. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
I'm great.
The timing could have been more perfect. The people that you invited to the show, which I forgot the names already, if you don't mind to repeat them to me.
Marlon Sobol, S-O-B-O-L. Marlon, how do people get in touch with you?
You could get in touch with me through calling the Institute, or you could log on to www.imnf.org.
IMNF? I'm enough? IMNF.org? E-N-O-U-G-H.
If that helps you remember it, you could say it like that.
I sure do, but how do you spell enough? I-M-N-F?
I-M-N-F, Institute for Music and Neurologic Function.
Thank you very much, which also means IamEnough.com. Great, that's how I'll remember it.
I ate enough today.
I ate enough. So yes, hi, you're there. Yes, you were saying.
Besides all the people that already called, which has been amazing information they have offered and all the things that they have said, I just cannot agree any more that I already agree. They just mentioned recently about the Caribbean. Just by hearing the word Caribbean, it means just an entire world to me. I'm from Cuba, and I strongly believe that music is in every single thing that we do in our life, no matter what it is. And I understood a few years ago, one of the reasons that maybe I have gone to some mild depression, or whatever kind of depression it is because I don't have this musical rich cultural music that I have in Cuba with all the Afro traditions that I used to be even part of. I'm being a dancer almost all my life, and I was part of folkloric groups and all of that. And I was listening to these batas and drums for so many years, and they're so in my brain that I totally understood that disconnection brought me to some depression for sure. I strongly believe in that.
That's really kind of amazing, yes, because certainly if what we're learning about neuroscience is true, the music is going to trigger chemicals in the brain that will easily, if you, the absence of which could easily lead you into a depression. So
I'm sorry.
So I think you're on track with something. We have to be going, unfortunately.
I think that you have to do a couple more shows about this.
Okay, well, we will.
This is an amazing topic. I just need to play one CD... of those that I have, and my life is brought back so, like, humongously. It's just amazing.
Thank you so much for calling in. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're playing Congo Malance from the original Kenya album, just in case any of you thought we would let that pass. Right? And, great guest. We do have to do more programming about it, though. Try to show up next Wednesday, my friends. I think we'll be there. Wednesday, December 2nd at Purchase College. Bye-bye for now, my friends.
Like many Americans, I have felt frustrated and betrayed by the state of the mainstream media in this country, a media whose priorities seem out of step with their responsibilities. We need a media that strengthens democracy, not a media that strengthens the government. We need a media that enriches public discourse, not one that enriches corporations.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Hi, this is Delphine Blue inviting you to join me every Tuesday night here on WBAI at 99.5 FM for Shocking Blue from 9 until 11 p.m. That's every Tuesday night right here on member-supported WBAI New York at 99.5 FM.
مرحبا، أنا ريم نصر وأنتم تستمعون إلى راديو WBAI على 99.5 FM في نيويورك. زورونا على موقعنا على الإنترنت wbai.org.
What are you listening to?
What you are listening to?
Yeah, but I don't know what it is.
It's WBAI.
Wow, sounds weird.
Weird. But I like it.
I like it.
What is it?
It's WBAI.
I like it.
Did you honor your pledge?
To go low carb?
To send money to WBAI.
Well, you mean write a check?
Yeah, I mean write a check.
I wrote it.
Well, now send it.
Oh, send it.
To WBAI.
120 Wall Street.
New York, New York.
10005.
WBAI. I like it.
Yeah!
This is listener-supported, commercial-free, community radio WBAI in New York. We're broadcasting at 99.5 FM on the web at WBAI.org. My name is Michael G. Haskins, your radio host.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.